it's your home, and I need to ask you a few favors. In the kitchen, there's a spider stuck between the window and the screen, and I know it's dead, and technically it's outside, but it's still freaking me out. Can you flick it out or something? Also, just to save some money and it's super easy, could you bundle your home and car insurance with Geico? Last thing, could you take the holiday decorations down? Yeah, I'm one of those.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch and you could save an average of $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money in just a few minutes. With savings like that, you could be lounging on an impractical amount of ornate and overpriced throw pillows you bought for your couch. But you won't, because you're better with money than that. That's why you're calling us in the first place. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Based on average nationwide annual savings survey data, July to December 2020, underwritten by Farmers, Trucker, Fire Insurance, Exchanges, or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
They'll get it all from you sooner or later, because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
The secret. There are no secrets. Except
hello everyone, this is Isaac from IlluminatiWatcher.com. You are listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast. Today's episode will be very special in that I was given explicit permission to re-air this audio that you are about to hear. And what I'm referring to is an interview that I did with Dave Navarro on his Dark Matter radio show. After the show, I received many requests to hear the audio, and I asked Dave if I could republish it, and he gave me permission to do so. So, you can thank Dave Navarro. You can actually find him on Twitter at Dave Navarro. He reads a lot of his tweets and responds to a lot of the fans. So, give him a thanks for giving me the permission to share this with you guys. Now, you may ask yourself why I was talking to Dave Navarro. Which is quite interesting because this is a guy that's got Aleister Crowley tattoos on his elbows and pentagram tattoos and the Church of Satan Leviathan cross on his neck. But the truth is, I've been following him for some time now. I'm a fan of Ink Master, as well as a fan of 90s alternative rock, because he was the guitarist for Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers at one time. But what had happened was that I noticed he had all of this occult and Illuminati symbolism about him, so I created an article on IlluminatiWatcher.com that looked into these things, and I made a video for the YouTube channel on Illuminati Watcher 1 is the channel name. And Dave Navarro reached out to me and said, hey, I want you to come on my show and tell me why you think I am in the Illuminati. As you'll hear, I will answer this question of why I believe he is in the Illuminati, or perhaps just why he is an occultist. And you can hear that he actually knows an awful lot about the subjects we are talking about. He's got a good sense of humor. I mean, I am, after all, claiming that he is in the Illuminati. But he and I explore many of these topics of the occult together, and you'd be surprised at some of the things that come out of this conversation. So I want you to take a listen to the audio, again, courtesy of Dave Navarro and Dark Matter Radio. Here is the Dave Navarro versus Illuminati Watcher Isaac Weishaupt audio.
Is Isaac on the line? All right, guys, this is the moment we've all been waiting for and waiting for. At Illuminati Eyes himself, Mr. Isaac is on the line. Isaac, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Dave?
I'm really good, man. So first off, tell me a little bit about yourself, what your whole trip is, what you do on the internet. It seems like you are one of these, a proponent of these theories about conspiracies and New World Order and Illuminati, and you kind of have a website and a handle dedicated to that. Tell us a little bit about that and where people can find it.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that you guys are willing to hear out my ideas.
We didn't say that.
Well, someone's going to listen to it, damn it. No, the whole concept was, I've always been interested in aliens and sort of had a natural drawing towards the dark arts of certain, you know, films and music.
100%.
Real heavy, dark stuff.
100% with you so far.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
And over the time, I read several conspiracy books, watched the documentaries.
Behold a Pale Horse?
Yep, Behold a Pale Horse of Bill Cooper. Hell David Icke was very influential.
David Icke is a nut job. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he actually... So the issue that you
happened,
start studying this kind of stuff...
Something happened with David Icke. Real quick, Isaac. Something happened with David Icke where... For a lot of years, he was kind of making sense and making people sit up and go, you know what? This guy's onto something. And then he crossed some line where now he's just like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he did eventually just like go a little too far off the deep end.
Well, the media took a hold of the whole reptilian shapeshifter stuff, and they really drove that to the ground, which, you know, that is a proponent of his teachings. And I also am, you know, I'm skeptical of it because he has this whole complex Saturn moon matrix connection and how it's broadcasting a signal. And
there is a signal coming from Saturn. There definitely is a signal. I've heard it, but that's just, you know, what do you call it? It's radiation is what that is.
Yeah. And Saturn has its own kind of play in the true history of the occult. If you start, you know, reading the actual kind of historical beliefs and,
absolutely, and the Saturn iconography can be found within a myriad of corporate logos and emblems throughout the world. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely,
dude. Yeah. You're letting out the secrets.
Black cube, a lot of times the color black is related to it, like the. Because what happened was these ancient occultists, they thought Saturn was the outermost planet from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So that was considered the dark side, sort of like, you know, the analogy I always draw, because my whole shtick is I read the occult stuff and then I see it in entertainment and I try to convey the ideas through entertainment because people understand Star Wars, right?
Right, right. Well, first of all, Saturn, they thought was the outermost planet. It is the sixth from the sun, and at that time was the furthest you could see. And by the way, since we're on planets, I still maintain Pluto is a planet. How old are you, Isaac?
37.
Okay, so is Pluto a planet?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's a planet.
It depends on how old you are.
My son came home and was like, Pluto's not a planet. I was like, fuck you. What are you talking about? Asshole, get out of here.
That's that week you made him sleep outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, carry on, Isaac.
Yeah, so we were talking about the Saturn being... So when you look at all the occult stuff, it boils down to a few key concepts, one of which is this duality aspect where they want to embrace both the good and they want to embrace the bad. We got the white magic and the black magic, and Saturn is the representative of the black magic or the evil... Mm-hmm. Or from Star Wars, we're talking about the dark side of the Force.
Okay.
That's where the Saturn stuff plays in.
Okay, so real quick, I want to get to this. There's a lot to get to, and you're a fascinating guest, actually, so I appreciate you taking the time. How can our listeners find you and your website and what you want to talk about? Because it sounds like you have a lot of stuff, and I want to hone this in. Basically, I want to make it about me. Because I'm a narcissist.
Absolutely.
And it's my own show.
Yeah, get to talking a bunch of shit about Dave and how fucked up he is.
Let them know where you are. If there's a website or a Twitter handle or anything you want to promote, please. This is
indeed. Thank you. I'm all over the web. I'm on IlluminatiWatcher.com is the website, and on it there's email signups you can do that'll kind of connect you into the archives. And I've got books all.
He says, by the way, people.
iTunes.
He says they'll connect you to the archives, but what you really don't know is Isaac will be stealing your data. And he, this is the whole thing. What they do is they see what Isaac does is he goes out, oh, they're all trying to get you. Give me your information and I'll keep that from happening.
Anyway, I gotta pay the bill somehow. No,
okay.
The email addresses are fully confidential, by the way. Just FYI, in case anyone's concerned about that. I don't sell that to anyone. I actually work a full-time job.
No, I'm not saying you would sell it to them. I'm saying that you're part of the New World Order. That's your whole shtick, is that you claim that there's a New World Order out there, but you really, what you are is a soldier for Lucifer's Army. Isn't that so, Isaac? Or shall I say, Dr. Von Scott?
Nazi propaganda machine.
I know you did. I know you did. Anyway, so is there a web address they can go to?
Yeah, IlluminatiWatcher.com.
Okay.
That'll get you connected to everything.
Cool. And super really interesting, really super interesting stuff. And Isaac, I am no master of this type of education, but I am not a novice either. I'm pretty well versed in a lot of what you're talking about and done some extensive reading, extensive research. You know, if there's a video on UFO TV, I've seen it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I've seen Secret Space a zillion times. I'm all dialed in. I've seen most of David Icke's stuff. I've seen Richard Hoagland's stuff, to name a few. David Childress, who's a complete... He had me with the monuments on the moon, and then once he got on Ancient Aliens, I was just like, this guy's an idiot. Have you ever noticed that David Childress says, it was that time... He's got this thing with long eyes.
That draw.
Yeah, that kind... And the other thing I want to talk to you about, Isaac, is ancient astronaut theorists. Think about that. Does that mean anybody with a theory about ancient astronauts is an ancient astronaut theorist? You don't need a degree.
I think anybody who's in any field that's a theorist is just...
I theorize that they come from the Pleiades. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Ancient astronaut theorist.
I think Giorgio Tsoukalos isn't even an archaeologist, as far as I know. He was a wrestling promoter at one time, I guess, was his background.
You know, if you look at these guys' ages, they're all guys who watched
Leonard Chariot, Nimoy.
No, they watched Chariots of the Gods when it first came out in the 70s, which is the Eric von Daniken film. Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually the film based on his book. And they all got this crazy idea, and they, you know, here we are. So, Isaac... Talk to me about what you think my standing in the overall plan is.
So, we're talking about the Illuminati, we're talking about this
plan. Oh! So the phone line starts not working all of a sudden. How convenient!
Bro, that's the Illuminati.
That's what's happening.
Cutting the call because they're afraid your cover is going to be blown any minute.
Isaac, are you really breaking up, or is this are you fucking with us? What's going on? I can't believe this is real.
You know what he said?
That's the secret language.
That's the code.
That's the language.
That's the fucking code.
He's cracking the code. He's speaking in zeros and ones. Isaac, we're gonna have to call you back, buddy. It's not happening. Wow, that was getting interesting. Will you call him back and give us another call in the meantime? Yeah. All right.
Just give him his number over the air.
You're on Dark Matter. Who's this? Go to the next one. Don't answer it again. You're on Dark Matter. Who's this? Hello. All right. I hear him there.
Yeah, I can hear him there breathing. Too. I don't. Just people, when you call and Dave says this key phrase... Hello, you're on with Dark Matter. Who's this? Just say hi, real fast.
You are on Dark Matter. Who's this?
Hey, this is Isaac.
Dude, okay, there you go. I'm telling you, I said, how am I involved in the overall plan? And then your phone just started going haywire.
It wouldn't be the first time. I firmly believe the NSA is tapping into my home line. So.
Because you're such a threat. Oh, no.
I don't have any...
Isaac's at it again. Cut the line.
Cut the line, Illuminati eyes. He's on to us. Get the burn bag. All right, so, Isaac, how do I tie into the overall plan, and am I doing a good job?
So I think when we're talking about the Illuminati, there's like this kind of hidden belief system, and it's what we call the occult, you know, which means hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see, like, you've got all the tattoos that suggest you might be under this umbrella of the Illuminati.
Right, but that would be the antithesis of hidden, wouldn't it be? That would be very outward if they're tattooed
Absolutely.
On me.
Really good point, Dave.
Pretty good point.
Unless you're using that kind of misdirection.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
All right, continue, Isaac.
But I believe that it's a progression that they're... So if you look at the history of the occult, they believe in this evolution of consciousness.
Right, and how long has this history been going on?
Thousands of years.
So at what point is this going to become a threat? Thousands of years is a long time for people to be taking over the world. Like, we're getting impatient.
It's not for tattoos. It's getting there. It's slowly working.
It's slowly.
Deconstruct all society.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Carry on. They're going to rebuild.
I'm with you. So
like when, like for instance, you've got the tattoos of Aleister Crowley's universal hexagrams on your elbows.
Correct.
And that's correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, that's like symbolic of the as above, so below stuff, because you've got the five petaled rose, which symbolizes the five elements of Earth, and then you've got the six sided hexagram, which symbolizes
It's also symbolic of the Big Bang. Mm-hmm.
Oh, kind of like a mind before matter idea. You could
think that, yes. But carry on. So I do have those. You're right. Also, I'll have you know, early imagery that was applied to Jane's addiction in the 1980s. That was one of our first logos.
Oh wow! I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about Perry Farrell? Because I've read and I've heard that he is into, you know, something like maybe he saw an alien or had a UFO encounter once or was interested in it. Do you know anything about that?
I do. Perry went crazy about crop circles, which we all know.
Or a bunch of crop.
There's not a shred of truth to any of them. I don't want to speak for him, but let's just put it this way.
Sure.
I'll tell you this. Do I think that there is life out in the universe other than us? Absolutely, of course. Do I think there are aliens? Well, I would love for there to be. Do I think that there are grays and reptilians and Nordics? And I would love nothing more than that, because it would make my life so much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have so much more to be interested in. However, I don't think that that's the kind of life that's out in the universe. What do you think, Isaac?
I think that they exist. I think they exist in another dimension, another plane.
Oh, yeah. It's always another dimension.
You guys are called the dark matter. You know, the dark matter is the energy that's outside of our known electromagnetic spectrum.
It's also just the name of a radio show,
too.
No,
but the dark matter is also, but it's not, dark matter is not in another dimension, though.
No, but it's in a different frequency band beyond, you know, obviously beyond visible light, but then it's also beyond anything we can detect. So,
and you think the aliens come from there?
Obviously, there's things we cannot detect.
And so how?
Which would include these aliens.
So why? Okay. So they're from another dimension, which is what? Which is why we don't see them flying across the universe, because they're bending space-time continuum and jumping across as opposed to flying distances?
Right. And if you look at some of the... So, You're obviously well versed in the conspiracy stuff.
Oh yeah,
you've heard of predictive programming.
I've seen Richard Hoagland speak. I've seen Bob Lazar speak. I know all these.
Plus, you're part of the Illuminati, so you would know these things.
There's a course that we have to take before we get our membership card.
Membership card, yeah.
The training videos, right. So in 2001, A Space Odyssey,
which I just saw the other night, by the way.
Yeah, it was fucking.
Oh. Fantastic.
Todd and I went to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, where they play it on the side of a mausoleum,
which is a very hip Illuminati place to see a movie.
There's
in the cemetery.
Lots of symbolism in that cemetery. Yeah.
You're not helping your cause any here, Dave.
What's that?
Now you're watching movies, and you're not helping your cause any. Now you're watching movies.
Well, I don't have any cause. I want to hear what you think. I'm not gonna confirm or deny anything, because.
But I want to hear what he has to say
about 2001 for sure. But Isaac, let me be very clear. I'm not gonna confirm or deny anything, because if I confirm, then I'm blowing my cover, and if I deny, I appear less mysterious to the world. So either way, I lose.
Okay.
So anyway, go ahead. Tell me about 2001, because I know a lot about that film.
Okay. Yeah. So. What we're watching is the alchemical transformation of mankind with the astronaut David Bowman, and he goes out into space. He makes contact with the alien, extraterrestrial life, which is symbolized through the black monolith, which I'm sure you're already familiar is the same dimensions as the film screen, the 16:9 ratio. Mm-hmm. So, like, the viewer watches the film, they're also being alchemically transformed.
Which but if
the idea of predictive programming.
Understood. But if you carry on the Arthur C. Clarke story into 2010, Odyssey 2, the monoliths end up imploding Jupiter and creating another star. So the monolith isn't really an alien life, actually.
No, there were tools established by the alien life, because in the next novel, you find out that the aliens, what they did was they evolved from having material bodies to incorporating technology, which is what we're experiencing now with transhumanism. And then eventually they became, they found a way to live immortal by uploading themselves as a digital consciousness.
Much like when you see David Bowman, in Odyssey 2, when he appears on the television screen.
Yes. Yes. That's precisely what happens with him. Yes. He evolves through the contact with the aliens, through the monolith cube.
My God.
I think that's where they're taking us, right? And when I say they, I guess I mean you, but no, I'm just kidding. I guess is where they want to take us, is they want to take us down this path of the transhumanism movement and then eventually upload us into digital consciousness.
Okay, and then when's that supposed to happen? Because frankly, I'm tired of this consciousness.
2045.
Okay, cool. And you know this how?
So there's a futurist named Ray Kurzweil.
Ray.
Yeah, you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
He's the director of Google Engineering right now. He said by 2045, we'll cross that singularity point where the machines will be vastly smarter.
But that will be of our own doing. That's not going to be of alien. There's no alien hand in that. We're on our way doing that on our own just fine. You think that's an Illuminati?
When is Skynet going to become self-aware? That's what I want to know.
Well, if you're talking about the aliens, we could have easily been... you know, the crashed Roswell crash.
So you think that so let me just put this in a nutshell, because I hate, dude, first of all, I'm going to hang on to your number because you and I are now friends and we're going to talk about this stuff all the time. So
that's great.
I'm going to have to go soon. But so you think that the Roswell crash happened. Jesse Marcel created a false cover, who is, by the way, from the 509th, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct?
507th or 509th.
It's 509, pal.
You're definitely knowledgeable on
509. All right. So, cover story, blah, blah, blah. What we did is we took the debris, reverse engineered it, accelerated our technological skills to the point where we are going to advance to a place where we're going to be able to upload our digital consciousness and never die.
Yeah.
We're doing that with help from the aliens. Why wouldn't if the aliens are helping us, why wouldn't they spare themselves the trauma of a crash and just come down and give us the technology? And why would we have to reverse engineer it? Why don't they just say, here's how it works. Mm-hmm. Let's get going on this.
So we just have to rewind a few years. So if you go back to Aleister Crowley back in 1918, I think it was, he channeled an extraterrestrial named Lamb. But then...
Channeling is always compelling evidence.
Black Lamb.
If you look at...
Oh, it's totally true. He channeled it. Oh, okay. All right.
You saw it on YouTube.
If you look at Hitler and the Nazis, they were going through the Vril Society to channel alien technology.
But that's because they thought they were from Atlantis. That whole thing had to do with them being Atlanteans and trying eugenics to try and purify the race to get back to that perfect ubermensch, which was the Atlanteans.
Right, right. And that was all inspired from, you know, Blavatsky's theosophy stuff. But they did successfully channel through, Maria Orsic, I think is her name.
Oh, yeah.
There was a woman they would use to channel this alien technology, and that's how they built these UFOs, which were the Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And then then you fast forward another couple of years, and you got L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons did that Babylon working ritual to make contact with the aliens. And
that really
and
took Crowley, off.
Crowley criticized them because he said they wouldn't successfully reclose the portal.
Okay.
And then the next year, Roswell happened.
Oh, yeah. And then Roswell happened, which, you know, like I said, why would they need to crash? Why? My question is this. This is all thousands of years old, eking into some channeling spirit thing, and then there's a crash, and then there's a recovered ship, and then they reverse engineered, and it was some gravitational, you know, engine that you know, operated this thing. Bob Lazar was at S4, and he was reverse engineering it and all this technology, and to the point where in 2045, where all these people are dead that had a hand in this to begin with, by the time any of this stuff works. Don't tell anyone, because when I'm dead, 50 years after I'm dead, this is really going to be something.
That's really going to take
off.
That's
what you're telling us, Isaac?
Yes.
And I play into this somehow? And I have a hand in this. That's awesome.
You are pretty knowledgeable about all this stuff.
I do know a little too much.
I just want to know where the flux capacitor falls in this whole thing.
Oh, we'll get to the flux capacitor. Okay. But Isaac, really, so you think that I have a hand in all of this stuff? I mean, we're obviously, for the sake of the show, we're talking about a bunch of different theories, and we're crossing them all, and we're going back and forth. Super cool to do. But you really think all this stuff, or you think that it's just interesting stuff to talk about?
Well, I do, because if you look at all of these, it seems, the more I study this, the more it seems like there's multiple pieces of this puzzle, and you see the same recurring themes of, like, certain symbols and a lot of Crowley stuff. And when I see,
yeah, but you see the same mathematical themes throughout nature.
I'm sorry?
You see the same mathematical themes throughout nature. What's that Fibonacci thing?
Fibonacci sequence, yeah.
Okay, no, but what's the eggshell, the Nautilus thing?
Yeah, that's
the shells, yeah.
Sequence.
It is, okay, yeah. So that thing occurs throughout nature. Does that mean that there's some grand plan, or is that just like, you know, a lot of fucking cool coincidences that we're all talking about? It's pretty cool. Because, to be honest with you, I have a hard time believing that the dudes in 47, Roswell? That that those dudes had a hand in this grand designed thing that was going to take place literally 100 years later, that they don't get to reap any benefit. In fact, their lives get tormented and shamed while they're living the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they're part of some secret grand design that's not going to take place for another 100 years. I don't know.
I think you're asking a lot of great questions, and they're all the same questions I have. I'm still trying to piece the whole thing together to figure out why and what is going on.
Maybe they really don't die, though.
But is really, like, listen, Isaac, when I talk to my pals, I go to this grove, okay? And we burn a big owl. I don't want to get into what that's all about, okay? That's between us. But, you know, this sounds a little intense, and I love that you know what you're talking about. I love talking about this stuff clearly, but having had this conversation with me now, and I love the video, by the way. I think the video is awesome. Anybody who hasn't seen it, type in Navarro Illuminati, and this thing's going to come up as the first thing. But sincerely, do you really, really, in your heart of hearts, believe that I am part, yes or no, that I am part of some master plan?
I think that you are part of a movement. And I don't know that you would know. I don't think that you have this nefarious, volunteered to do some kind of dastardly thing that nobody knows about. I don't think that at all. In fact, a lot of the stuff I keep an open mind about with the occult, I'm not a judgmental kind of guy about it. I think that there's an influence being placed upon us to change our world and the way we live it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's all necessarily bad. I don't agree with all of it, but I don't think it's all necessarily bad.
Like, sure.
A lot of it is a lot of like the liberalization of the world, where we say, you know, we need to have equal rights and stuff like that.
Why? You don't think
a lot of that came from the Illuminati, you know, the Bavarian Illuminati.
The Illuminati does not want equal rights, man. They want to stay high away with their own secret, locked up, hidden agenda. Equal rights would mean that there's nothing enlightened about them, illuminated.
Yeah, it depends on which path you want to.
Depends on which Illuminati we're talking about here.
their goal is to be the illuminated ones and have everybody else be the ones that are controlled.
From what I can tell, I think the Illuminati are people that believe in a certain version of reality and history. And I think it's influenced Luciferian influence.
And what? Okay,
can I ask him a question? Yeah. How do you feel that Dave, specific to Dave, is influencing the way people think based on what you think that he believes?
I can already answer that.
What?
We're through the tattoos right there to reaching out to a mass market of people and getting them used to seeing that kind of iconography and symbology and getting their minds programmed and used to seeing that, so that when it comes down to push comes to shove and it's time for the big change,
right, they're used to it.
Yeah. It's already palatable to them.
It's the subliminal coke message in the... I have one
question, kind of with, I don't know if it's Illuminati related or not, but why did we nuke the moon? In 2009.
Why did we nuke the moon?
Yeah, that's a real thing. You can Google that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, he doesn't know. Oh, I've been waiting to ask this question the whole time.
We didn't nuke the moon, bro.
Nuke the moon.
I'm going to pull it up. Okay.
Nuke the moon.
We didn't nuke the moon. However,
2009.
However, we didn't go there. Let me rephrase that. We went there, but what we saw in 1969 wasn't that trip. What do you think about that, Isaac? Do you believe that one?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I actually agree with that too.
You know, 2001 was 2 years before. No, it was a year and a half before the lunar landing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you're pointing at it.
NASA dropped a 2-ton kinetic missile on the moon. Nuking of the moon. Well, it's a thing. Yeah, I don't know if it happened.
A thing. I don't know if it's real. I think it's pretty fake.
Okay. Project A119. Didn't you get the mandate from the head office on that one, Dave?
I'm gonna have to talk to the boys at the Elks Club.
Somebody's bucking for a promotion over there.
That's what we call it.
CNN though. CNN.
Yeah, CNN.
That's part of the master plan.
Is it a nuclear bomb that they put on the moon?
That's what he says.
I don't know. I was hoping that
NASA's strike on moon worked. Mission officials say that's on CNN. It is on CNN.
It is there. But okay, but I don't know anything about nuking the moon. And maybe they were going after the bases because the rebel base is on the moon. Ask David Childress.
The moon of Endor?
No, but Rebel Isaac, base? you never answer my question. Honestly, yes or no? No explanation. Yes or no? Am I part of some hidden agenda?
Wasn't an option. Yes, there it is.
That's fucking awesome. I'm psyched.
And when am I going to get to reap any benefits, bro?
You worry about your own business.
Can't you hand me a dollar bill with some messages on it or something?
I can tell you something right now. That hidden agenda, that's my business. All right?
Let's just keep it hidden.
You'll find out. Believe me.
You will. You will be.
If you're kicking around in 1945 or 2045, you'll know.
Firsthand.
You're going to get it. Isaac, anything else?
No, man, I just want to thank you guys for having me on, man. I appreciate you being able to have an open mind and hear out the ideas, because
it's a lot of fun.
It's an interesting conversation.
It's a lot of fun. I could talk about it for hours and hours, and I don't want to bore people with it, but this is what you're talking about. I gave up drugs, Isaac, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yeah, I saw Morning Sun.
Oh, you did? Thank you. Oh, that's very nice of you.
Great movie.
Thank you, Todd. The other gentleman that's with us directed that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really good. Very, very powerful. Very
did cool. You notice any of the hidden symbolism? I packed it.
Well, no, there.
You know, I did see Dave had a necklace of the universal hexagram on during a couple of the scenes, but
if you watch certain scenes, he's not wearing it too. So, what does that mean?
And also, there were flash frames. Within the film that very subliminally they go by and then the eye doesn't catch it, but it puts subliminal messaging into the viewer. Uh-huh. So, you know, but
they're all about the size of your penis. Yeah. So it doesn't, yeah, it's not really Illuminati driven.
Subliminally suggest that my penis is much larger than it is. Trying to get that out there. But Isaac, thank you so much. And like I said, I could talk about this stuff all night. I could do 2 hours with it. We give you a hard time, but it's fascinating stuff. IlluminatiWatcher.com, and you can tweet Isaac at IlluminatiEyes. And maybe you should be our in-house conspiracy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Most definitely, man. Yeah.
Is that cool?
This is how the Illuminati works, bro. They get you under their wing. See? They invite you into the fold, right? Get you comfortable.
Make him feel included. You know?
Feel included.
Play to his ego a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You really know what you're talking about. Join us.
Come join us, Isaac. Yeah, next week we're having Isaac the bartender, incidentally, from The Love Boat.
Ted Lang. Isaac, we can talk about Kubrick all day long. We got to get into The Shining. Got to get into 2001. We got to get into rear screen projection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
and that lens that Kubrick got from NASA to shoot, what was the film he shot with that lens?
Oh, Barry Lyndon? No.
Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, he shot Barry. Uh-huh. That was the deal. He wanted to make Barry Lyndon, but he wanted to use natural light for it. And a lot of it was candlelight. And the only way he could shoot it was with this particular lens that was designed to capture light in the vastness of space. So in trade, he faked the lunar landings. Now, what we saw, what was broadcast during those lunar landings was supposedly a Kubrick film. And there's tons of documentation of this online.
Right.
Super compelling. I don't know. Jury's still out.
But I just so want to believe that.
I want to believe it too. Yeah. But the thing that I believe, if there is truth to that, and Isaac, you can make this the last point. I think that we went to the moon. We just didn't want to broadcast what we found or didn't find to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we went to the moon at some point. If you look at some of the footage of the astronauts after they came back, you can see they look very distraught. I saw that on Ancient Aliens. They played a clip.
Well, what's his name talks about? He's like, oh, we saw UFOs up there. Who's the lead?
Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin. There's footage of him discussing.
Few dudes who talk about
Say, oh, yeah, we couldn't say it back then, but yeah, we saw crazy shit up there, basically.
Yeah, Edgar Mitchell was on one of the Apollo missions, and he talks about it all the time.
Yeah, Edgar Mitchell's one of those dudes. But you know,
Edgar
these guys,
Winter also is one of
you know,
those dudes.
And then, but then there's the whole thing about like you know they go through the what's that radiation? The Van Allen belt?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. They would cross the Van Allen belt. Normally, most of these guys would be dead with cancer. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen? It makes you wonder. Sure. A lot of questions. But Isaac, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
All right,
appreciate
pal. Was this okay? Were we easy on you?
Oh, yeah, that was great, man. I've been roasted way harder than this.
We don't want to roast anybody. Dude, let me tell you something. I've been roasted on the radio time and time again. It is not fun. I would never do it to anybody. If I invite you on the show, it's to have a fun talk.
Listen, the one thing that I will say is you are, I don't want to, accusing is a heavy word, but you're accusing Dave of the shit that he loves to talk about anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's all good.
I saw that video. I was stoked about it. It's like, great. Wow, this makes me seem mysterious. I love it.
Maybe I'll do a part two then.
Please do, buddy. All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, thanks.
Isaac, everybody. That was fun.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That was the interview that I did on Dave Navarro's Dark Matter Radio Show. I'm curious to know what you thought of that. You can find me on Twitter at Illuminati Eyes or Dave Navarro at Dave Navarro. I'd also like you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Online, it's the Illuminati Watcher 1 YouTube channel. And you can leave comments. I peruse those sometimes. I believe that currently Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. And I'd like to know what you think about the interview and how it went. Was I successful in relaying the message that I had on the IlluminatiWatcher.com post about Dave Navarro? I personally feel that it went well. And Dave Navarro has a great sense of humor, and I appreciate him giving me the opportunity to voice my opinion on that. And a lot of the stuff we talked about, actually, you can find in many of my books, such as Kubrick's Code, for instance, because it seems that he is a fan of the Kubrick film series. I want to thank you again for listening. If you're a fan of the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast, please leave a review or a rating on iTunes or Stitcher, and tell me what you think of the show. Again, you can check out IlluminatiWatcher.com. I've got a free email newsletter sign up you can sign up for that'll unlock the archives and take you through some of the previous articles and the best of Illuminati Watcher. Thanks again.
What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners.
Good afternoon. Would you like to try a free sample of our double fudge brownie?
Oh, sure. Mmm, that's very good. I'll just take one more, just to be sure. Yep, still very good.
Some things never change, like never being able to take just one free sample. And Geico saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
Mmm, is that macadamia nut I taste? Let me take one more.
Sir,
Yeah, I thought so.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.